The blessed name of Jesus,
the Christ,
our Lord, our Savior, the reason for the season. They can't deny it.
They might
merchandise it, but they can't deny it. This is a special season. Hallelujah. And He is the reason for the season. Don't you dare tell anybody happy holidays. If you're a Christian, don't minimize the season of the Lord. In the name of making people more comfortable, you ought to remind them the reason for the season by insisting on telling them Merry Christmas. Amen. Amen. I know, you know, people don't like to say that because it's Happy Holidays is more acceptable and more, they lump everything together and minimize the real reason for the season. I don't know where I'm going with that. I wasn't going to do that, but here we go. But as a believer, don't you dare do that. Don't you dare do that. Everybody else can do it, but you shouldn't. Because you know better. And it may be uncomfortable, but hey, listen. It was uncomfortable on the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Very, very uncomfortable. When those nails pierced his hands. But he hung in there.
Hallelujah.
Hung up there, it was said,
yes.
Was done. You can't take a little discomfort. Come on now. Hallelujah. Amen. So Merry Christmas. Okay. Well, I wouldn't plan, but it's also right. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Okay, so we're gonna bring you today today's Bible lesson on divine prosperity. And that's why Jesus came. Remember, he said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. People like to minimize that, but it's a part of the package. Hallelujah. You didn't get born again and then get zipped up to heaven. Had to live down in this rotten earth and sin-infested earth. Have to have the power of God on your life, in your circumstances, to make you stand out as a witness. In this area, among others. All right. So, God's dreams have no expiration date. Ah. And they do come to pass. They do. Always do. Amen. Amen. In Jeremiah 29, verses 10, we'll start there. He said, For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years, O Lord, what can it be after 7 hours? Or maybe 7 days. Maybe 7 years. 70? Lord Jesus. Talk about dreams, visions, huh? But after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you then after 70 years. Woo! And perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. And you know he's done that? He's done that. And Christians don't read their Bible, don't understand it. And they support the wrong side about all of that. You ought to be on the Lord's side, Christian. Amen. Amen. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Amen? Yeah. So his dreams, in the end, do come to pass. But it may take 70 years. Ooh, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. All right? Look at let's look at Genesis 43. Let's hook this up to where we were. You thought I digressed, but I hadn't. Joseph had dreams, didn't he? Oh yeah. So we're still talking about that. Genesis 43. Look at verse number 26. So they've returned, the brothers have returned. They've returned to Benjamin. He held Simeon. If you not let us listen to the other ones, you get caught up, because we'll talk about Joseph in Egypt and his brothers coming to buy grain. And him recognizing them, but they not recognizing him, and he concocting a plan to make sure that this is the family, this is his family. So he holds Simeon, sends the rest of them back. They go to come back again. It's time to come back and buy some more grain because there's famine everywhere. They bring with them Benjamin. And this is where we are reading now. And when Joseph came home, he comes home, and they come, and he sends them home. He tells them he's going to eat with them. So they've gone to his palace to prepare, and he's, I guess, working and so on. So now he's come home to them. When Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves to him in the earth. They bowed themselves to him to the earth. That was the dream, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The dream came to pass. The dream came to pass. Amen. And he asked them of their welfare and said, "Is your father well, the old man of whom you spake? Is he yet alive?" And they answered, "Thy servant, our father, he is in good health. He's yet alive." And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. He had two dreams, two bows. Here we are. The dream came to pass, didn't it? Amen. So Joseph's dream came to pass. God's dreams have no expiration date. Joseph dreamed this dream when he was 17. Okay? Back in Genesis 37, verses 5 to 11, we're not going to read that in the interest of time, but you may take that down. He dreamed this dream when he was 17 and dreamed again, two dreams. He was the 11th of 12 brothers. Joseph had no idea about how or when this dream would come to pass. He had no idea. He just had a dream. They're in the field binding sheaves, and his sheaves stands up, and the rest of them bow their heads. And of course, he's 17. He doesn't know anybody to keep his mouth shut. So he told them about it, and they get mad. And then he dreamed again. This time he told his parents, told his dad. You know, all the stars, the moon, and bow up there. He didn't like it either. He's 17. But the day came when the dream came to pass. Joseph was 30 when he became Pharaoh's deputy. That's in Genesis 41, 46. If you want to know the context, you can take that down. He was 30 when he became deputy pharaoh. This was 13 years after the dream. He was 17 when he dreamed the dream. Okay, I'm trying to get a lot across to you, but I have a check if I should just slow down a little bit. So look at Genesis 37. I want to obey the Lord. Hallelujah. This is where he dreamed that dream. Verses 5. And Joseph dreamed the dream. He told it to his brethren, and they hated him. Verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream. And told his brethren. And his father found out about it, and he didn't like it either. But, verse 11 says, and his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. He took a note of it. He took a note of it. Even though he didn't like it, the idea that he and his mother were bound to him. But we're going to find out. Joseph never told anybody what the dream meant, did he? He just told them what the dream was. They put interpretation on it. and hated him for it. He didn't tell him the interpretation. He just told him, here's what I dream, guys. How you like my dream? Oh, boy. You know how it is when you're 17? You just blab stuff. You don't stop and go. So no kind of deep thinking and meditation. You're 17. What do you know? Oh, boy. Amen. All right. Now look at... So he dreams when he's 17. Look at Genesis 41. This is when he becomes deputy pharaoh. After he's been sold to slavery and been lied on and all that, right? Genesis 41, 46. He interprets, Pharaoh's dreams. And Pharaoh elevates him and makes him deputy pharaoh. 41, what did I say, 46? 46, okay. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Okay, so 13 years had passed. And during those 13 years, he'd been a slave. He'd been a servant of Potiphar. He'd been in jail. Been lied on, been betrayed, been forgotten. But the day came when the dream came to pass. Was elevated from the prison house to the palace. God's dreams have no expiration date. Amen. So then after that, of course, 7 years of plenty followed, right? By the end of those 7 years of plenty, he is now 37 years old. The dream hasn't come to pass yet. He's 37. Dreamed it when he's 17. Okay? So he's 37 years old, and the dream is 20 years old. He's made some progress. Mm-hmm. 1 year later, the brothers show up because of the famine. So now he's 38 years old, and the dream is 21 years old. You said, how do you know we're 1 year? Hold on, I'll show you. How do I know? Because I read the Bible. 1 year later after that, they came back. Now Joseph is 40 years old. He's 39 years old. And the dream is fulfilled at 23. Look at Genesis 45 verse 6. This is where we find out that they came a year into the famine. Genesis 45 verse 6. For these 2 years, so then when they came to see him, well, let's start from, this is when he's revealed himself to them, that he told them, hey, I'm your brother, and they can't, they're dumbfounded. Verse 3. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. And they're like, what? You are? Please don't kill us. Please, Joseph, don't kill us. We didn't know. So he reveals himself to them. I am Joseph. And then, does my father live on? And so forth. Okay? And then he's explaining to them. Verse 4, he says, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold. Just so they know that he knows. Oh, my. And so then he explains to them, verse 5, now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. We'll come back and talk about that. And then he says, for these 2 years have the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 more years to go. So we know this is 2 years into the famine, right? So we know that they must have come a year into it, went home, came back, because this is their second time around. This is how we know it's 2 years, okay? And so by then, Joseph is 39, the dream is 23 years old, and it gets fulfilled, okay? And so God's dreams Ah, thank you, Lord. Have no expression that they always come to pass. For him, verse 23. Okay? Now, let's talk about some of this some more. Who was the dream for? This dream wasn't necessarily for Joseph, right? Think about it. It was for his family, and more importantly, it was for the plan of redemption. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go back where we were. 45, look at verse 7. Pick up from verse 7. Well, let's read verse number 5 again. It says, now therefore, don't be angry, don't be upset at yourself, because you sold me into slavery, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Okay, so somebody read that and think, okay, well, God did that. No, this is not God's doing. God didn't do that. Amen. Look at verse number, let's keep reading. For these 2 years, half the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 more years in which it will be just as bad. Verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth. You see, now it says that God said it. That's what Joseph said. Joseph said God sent it, and he did. But that does not mean that it was God's plan for the slavery and the jail time and all of that. You have to separate those two. Joseph was correctly quoted. Everything in the Bible is correctly stated, but everything in the Bible is not a statement of truth. When the Bible quotes people, that's not God speaking, that's them speaking. They may be speaking what God's speaking, or they may be speaking what they're speaking. How do we know they're speaking what God's speaking? By comparing it to the rest of Scripture. That's how we know. Amen. Same thing with their activity. You know that, right? Everything that people in the Bible did in the Bible, that means God wanted them to do it, does it? Of course not. God didn't want Adam and Eve to eat that fruit, but they did. Amen. Likewise, just because you read somebody said something that God said, that doesn't mean he said it. How do you know it? Compare it with the rest of Scripture. Let me ask you this now. If you were God, and you had this young man who was upright, and boy, he loved you, and he was going to run from sin and do right, and everywhere he goes, he just does right, would you send him to slavery? Is that how you go about it? And you had a plan for him to end up in Egypt. Is that how you go about it? Make him a slave and then make him throw him in jail. Come on, guys. That's what the devil was doing. To try to stop the dream from coming to pass. Amen. And Christians read that and they're like, well, sometimes God may send you to jail. No. Unless you go there because you preach the gospel. I'm going to say, well, God had a hand in that accident, because, I got in that accident and I ended up in the hospital. And while I was laying in the hospital, a nurse came and witnessed to me and I got born again. So God must have had a hand. No, the devil was trying to kill you. God intervened. Not that you lay on your back and go anywhere. Maybe you're ready to listen then. No, guys, let's separate what people do and the devil does from what God does. He is a good God.
Amen.
No, that wasn't God's plan, slavery and jail and all that. It was his plan for him to end up in Egypt. But that's not how he planned it. Joseph should have kept his mouth shut, is what he should have done. And let God handle the dream. But he was able to work through all that anyway. Okay? That's what happened. Alright. And so this dream was not just for Joseph. Okay? Joseph suffered for the dream, but the family benefited. Right? Oh yeah, this is how the family was saved through his famine. God knew this famine was coming. He had a plan in place to handle things. Where did God cause the famine? No, there's nothing in scripture to tell us that he did. Amen. He knew it was coming. Prepared his people for it. So Joseph suffered for the dream, but the family benefited, and the plan of redemption benefited. The rest of us did. Okay? How so? Let me tell you exactly how so. God was able to sustain the redemption family, 66 people. That's Genesis 46:26, if you want the scripture for it. When Jacob showed up in Egypt, he and his sons and wives, all of them were 66. The plan of redemption depended on those 66 people. My goodness. And then God was able to incubate and give birth to the redemption nation. This is what became Israel. Amen. In Egypt, in the land of Goshen, was the incubation place. That's where the nation was born. I said in Egypt, in case you haven't figured that out, that's in Africa, okay? Glory to God. Woo, glory. Amen. Don't tell me God. Okay. Curse black people. Yeah, right. Maybe you want to curse them, but God didn't. Ooh, Jesus. And why we wanted, let me remind you that when Herod wanted to kill him, he also again found refuge in Africa.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, my goodness. And the first person the anointing rested on after Noah. Genesis chapter 9. Go look at it. So that's not okay. Let's get back to this. All right. So the nation is incubated in Egypt, grows and grows and grows. This is where the nation is created. Somebody says, well, you know, the Jews are the occupation. Come on now. If you're a believer, a Christian, you read the Bible. The whole thing began with Abraham and the Ur of the Chaldees from Iraq. He comes to Canaan, roams around, you know, has Isaac and has Ishmael, right? They roam around there and so on. Isaac has Jacob. Eventually they have this family. Jacob goes to Egypt. Incubate and then comes back. Don't tell me that occupier. They came back home. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just because the other half of the family never left doesn't mean the other one that did leave can't come back. Doesn't it? Okay. And so the nation is incubated in Egypt, okay? And eventually, of course, the nation, they grow too much, they become too large. The pharaohs, after Joseph dies, some of the pharaohs didn't appreciate Joseph anymore, so they began to persecute them, right? So then God sends a deliverer called Moses to take him back to where the, you know, the promised land. That's where they left it and went to Egypt, grew, became a nation, and came back. Hallelujah. But Joseph's dream and his time in Egypt was critical. That's what I wanted to see. The dream included all of redemption. So because he gets to Egypt, he becomes deputy pharaoh, and then he brings the 66 of them, And then they grow, and they go back. Eventually, of course, you know, Jesus is born, the Redeemer. And from this one nation, all the nations are blessed. That's the impact of the dream. I told you all that because I want to ask you, which of God's dreams have you given up on? Because God's dreams have implications not just for you, but a whole lot of other people. Amen. If Joseph had given up on that dream, my. God would have to find some other way. Which of God's dreams have you given up on? Because it took 10 years, 20 years, maybe longer. And you thought, well, you know what? If it was going to happen, it would already have happened. What dreams regarding your health? What dreams regarding your relationships? Your family, your finances, your calling? Have you given up on? I'm suggesting this morning you should go back and pick it up. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 3 says you should wait for it. Wait for the dream. Joseph waited. He waited. He had no idea how this was going to happen. 17, he had no idea he was going to become a slave. End up in prison. Because the devil is trying to kill the dream. Resurrect all those dreams. Abraham was 75 when he had a dream. By the time it was fulfilled, he was 100. And he almost botched it, didn't he? When he came up with that Ishmael situation. Moses was 40 when he had a dream. By the time it was fulfilled, he was 80. Which of God's dreams have you given up on? All of this has to do with prosperity. Your prosperity and the prosperity of others hinges on you not letting go of that dream that God gave you. Just because it hasn't come to pass. Just because it looks like it'll never come to pass. After 40 years, Caleb. Oh, I love that name. You know why, right? I love another one called Micah, but we won't go there. Amen?
Amen.
Caleb said, give me this mountain. This was 40 years later. He hadn't forgotten his dream. What about you? What about God? It took God several generations to manifest Jesus. He didn't give up on that dream either. Ever since Adam and Eve messed up and ate that fruit in the garden and plunged his perfect creation into chaos, he had a dream to fix it all. Cost him a lot. Cost him separation from God the Son, the Word. But he kept a dream. He kept it. And eventually the Son came and died. He became the seed. But he's still dreaming. The dream is not over yet for God. It has taken him 2,000 years and counting to get all of the harvest from the dream, from the seed of the dream. And he's still dreaming. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That's a dream. And he hasn't quit. You shouldn't quit either. Hallelujah. It may take less time for you, or maybe more. But know this, God's dreams have no expiration date. And more importantly, know this, that the lives of many people are hanging on that dream, whatever it is. Maybe people in your neighborhood. Maybe people in your family. People who know you. People who don't know you. God's dreams are never just for you. For you and. Which is why you can't drop it. Bible says it takes 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day with the Lord. A day is like 1,000 years. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8, where it says that. Let me caution you that dreams can be misinterpreted. Whenever Joseph told his second dream, his father said, "You mean to tell us that your mother and I are going to bow down to you?" Again, like I told you, Joseph never told them that's what the dream meant. That's how they interpreted it. Same thing with the brothers. People can misinterpret dreams. We don't want to do that. His brothers did eventually bow down to him, but his father never did bow down to him. In fact, his mother died. Thank you, Lord. Look at the Genesis 35. His mother died when she gave birth to Benjamin, the youngest of the 12. So by the time Joseph is 37 years old, 39 years old, when the dream comes to pass, of course the mom is long dead, long gone. Genesis 35, verse 16. "And they journeyed from Bethel. It was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. It came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, 'Fear not, thou shalt have this son also.' And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, while she was dying, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin." So mom died. Mom and dad never got to bow down to him, because that's not what the dream meant in that regard. And he never said that's what the dream meant. He just had a dream and said it. So be aware not to misinterpret the dream or have people misinterpret your dream. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Okay. That's enough. God's dreams have no expiration date. 1,000 years of the Lord's word, like one day. So whereas you and I may be laboring under the weight of, "Oh yeah, but it's been 10 years, it's been this, and it's been this, and this," and what's that word you use? I'm not getting any younger. Some kind of phraseology. People, like ladies, looking for a mate and so on. Talking about my, what's the word they say? Something about my maturity or something. Anyways, while we are laboring, all of us are laboring, 10 years, 15 or 20. When God's eyes, it's only been a day. It's hardly been a day, yeah. Amen? God's dreams have no expiration date, and they do come to pass. So hold on to your dream, because it's not only about you. That dream is going to impact the lives of many other people.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. 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 All right. And that's prosperity, really. Because, I didn't tell you this, but dreams are God's methodology of prospering you. Huh? He has to get you to see a vision of how much better your health could be, how much better your family could be, how much better your finances could be. So that's a vision. That's a dream. He has to give you. That's got to get in your heart before you can bring it to pass.
Amen.
So it's a big part of prosperity. And okay. So we will change gears now.